Either go on visitation to find your husband or go to the small South Pacific island where they can't escape and then hunt yourself a man. So that's what I did. I appreciate those who come this morning with Princess Leia wannabes. Some of you with that little thing going on. I'm sure Grandma Doherty has medication for you afterwards. So. Yeah, there is no medication. True. Okay. There you have it. Not strong enough. That's right. And well, you guys are tired anyway. So today's devotional I'm going to give you is on perspective. And the Lord laid this on me. I didn't look up the official definition of perspective, but I had it as perspective is how we view circumstances, people, and events that we encounter. Our perspective is important, and it will actually change with time and things that you go through. Sometimes a changed perspective is a good thing. I want to make sure it's clear. I do not want you to get confused with perspective and conviction. Conviction is you find it in the Bible, and that's a conviction. It's in the Bible. That's what I believe. But sometimes a perspective can actually change and change for the better. We must remember that we can deceive those around us, but we can never deceive the Lord. In Jeremiah 17:10 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And we see the principle of sowing and reaping. I know it's late in the week. Anybody tell me what this is? Hello? Honey! It's honey. Some of you are like, we're in chapel. Yes, it is honey. What is it?
Honey!
Or your perspective can be, it's a bottle of bee vomit. It really is. I mean, honey is bee vomit. The problem is that some of us go through life and we view things as bee vomit instead of that it's sweet as honey. And it will determine your perspective on those things. Your perspective. I'm going to tell you, I have a younger son. I have an older one. Todd Keith is my oldest. And Todd, Hollywood Todd, is really my oldest child. But I have a younger one at home, Truman. And the boys and I, we have a dog. You know, if anyone gets you a puppy, mark that person. Because that person hates you. Really. It's true. Because I thought to myself, oh, we'll get a puppy. It's cute. No. So we're out walking, and we live in the woods and on the farm kind of thing. And we come around the corner, and Todd Keith looks, and he goes, oh, look at that. And in front of us was this tiny, itty-bitty, little, cute groundhog. And it was about the size of a guinea pig. I mean, it was all cute. And I said, well, you know, maybe we should move because I don't want the dog to get it. But then I thought, well, no, I sent Todd Keith on to get my mom to come out and see the cute, cuddly little groundhog. And Truman goes, let's kill it. I'm like, it's a baby groundhog. He goes, well, Mom, you told me I could kill groundhogs, which I did. But I said, it's a baby and it's cute. It's not like one of those big, nasty things. It was just cute, cuddly. And he's like, but you said. And I said, well, look. I gave on reasoning. I said, listen. I said, you don't even have a gun. He goes, I'm going to get a rock. I'm like, okay, no, we are not going to kill that groundhog. End of story. Do you know his perspective was, it's a groundhog. And really, it will grow to be a pest and dig holes and eat my vegetables. But my perspective was, it's all cute and cuddly when it's little, and it was. It was cute. My perspective saved that dumb little groundhog. Well, when it grows up, I'll let Truman kill it. But for the time being, my perspective influenced something else. And your influence, your perspective will influence those around you as well. We need to understand that our perspective is, who is the boss in our life? Is it going to be the Lord? Is it going to be ourselves? If it is ourselves, we are going to be run on emotions, and your life will be in constant turmoil. You may deceive those around you with a mask of conformity, but be inwardly rebellion. Your perspective must be proper in, I'm going to keep the Lord first, and I may not agree with something, but I need to conform. I need to have my perspective as, the Lord is always right. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God warns us. And you know what? That verse didn't say the heart of the teenager is desperately wicked or the heart of the child is desperately wicked. All our hearts are desperately wicked. And so you may say to yourself, it's unfair the way my parents treat me. They don't seem to trust me. Well, we don't trust ourselves because we all realize our hearts are desperately wicked. I want to give you an example in the Bible. Point number two, Nabal and Abigail, a story of greed and grace. 1 Samuel 25, verse 2 says, and there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Nabal is a Bible example of a self-centered perspective of a man who became a bully. A bully who thought his wealth, he had all that what he could, in his modern day, he had the wealth. He had the beautiful wife. He had the money and possessions. And he thought he could treat people as if, look at me, it's all about me. It's all about how I feel. It's all about what I get and how people treat me. We know the story continues. David and his men have protected Nabal's sheep shearers, and they've come and they want their wages. And Nabal says, in essence, who are you to come tell me that I'm going to pay you anything? The servants go back to David, and David responds that he's going to come back and kill every man in that household. Now, one of the household servants come and tell Abigail all that's been going on. Abigail could have said, well, Nabal is going to get what's coming to him. But her perspective was, it's not all about me. It's about those around me. And so Abigail, it says in verse 23, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, O Lord, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. She acted with grace and courage and with a perspective of, I've got to do what I need to do to save my family. And she did. It wasn't all about me with her. And in the end, she saved her house. And in the end, actually, David would then end up marrying her. Point number three, my aunt and the moon. How many of you, let's be honest, I know some of you are homeschooled. I homeschool too. How many of you believe we reached the moon? Raise your hand. That would be the appendage on one side. Some of you. Some of you are like, the moon, that's where I'd like to send my brother and sister. Okay, we reached the moon. We all would agree, right? We have reached the moon. But I had an aunt who has since passed away. She believed we never reached the moon. She believed it was a government conspiracy to raise taxes. I kid you not. Now, this woman, she was a good mama, a good wife. I mean, she was very sweet. She wasn't, you know, the village idiot, but she believed a lie. Someone had told her this story of the government's cover up. We really didn't reach the moon. But the point was, we reached the moon. I mean, we really did. She was sincere, but sincerity does not determine truth. Neither does your opinion. I'll say that again. Sincerity does not determine truth. Neither does your opinion. Now, I realize some people think, well, and I'm above 40, so therefore I'm close to death to some of your perspectives. And I'm old, and I don't know what's going on in life. But I'm telling you, sometimes our perspective changes. And I have seen things, and I realize that I want to protect my children from certain things. Every one of you sitting here has been told at least once, I'm sure, by your parents or your pastor or your youth worker that we need to be careful about our phones, the internet, who we call friends, who are you sharing your heart with, your emotions with. And I realize some of you sit and go, yes, yes, I heard that. But inwardly, you're like, oh, for the love of Pete. You know, you are letting your opinion and think, well, they're just old and, oh, my soul. I will admit, I can text on my phone and I'm thinking I'm doing pretty well. And that's about it. But, you know, we have people over us that realize that there are people on the internet that aren't out for your good. We have to have the perspective that even though my opinion may not agree with someone in authority over me, I have to submit. And that one day, when you're the mama, your perspective might just be back to, I want to protect my children from something else that they might encounter in the internet. Remember, it is not your opinion, does not, so you have to make sure that your perspective is, you know, I may not agree with that, but let me look in the scriptures and I'm going to submit. Point number 4, Jacob and his mother. He reaped and sowed due to a deceitful perspective. Now, remember Jacob and Esau. He knows, Jacob knows, and Isaac and Rebekah know that Jacob is to get the birthright. He knows that. God has plainly told them. Rebecca has heard that Esau is about to be blessed. And so instead of, you know, all right, I need to pray, her perspective became, I've got to figure this out. I've got to do something. Instead of going before the Lord. And her perspective passed on to her son, Jacob. Genesis 27, verse 11 and 12 says, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And nowhere in that verse does it say, Mama, God has told me or told you that I'm to get the birthright. We need to ask the Lord. His perspective was all wrong. His perspective is, how can I get away with this? How can I get away with it? And if you have to have that perspective on what you're doing, that behavior you're having, or what you're listening to when no one else is around, what you're looking at on the computer, if you have to be, I've got to turn this off, I've got to make sure I erase this before anyone can see it, you're deceiving, and you're just like Jacob. You will reap and sow that deceiving perspective. You need to be careful. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6:9, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Jacob reaped a very terrible reaping from his deceiving. He left his mama and never saw her again. We need to be careful that we do not have a deceiving perspective. I have to go back and tell more stories about Truman because he and the dog add a lot of stories to my life. So the next point is Truman and the shovel. Some of you know this story. I've only lived in my house for a little over a year now, and we had to get decorative rocks. We were outside. I had rocks in this big old hill, so me and the boys were outside shoveling, just shoveling. You know, take the shovel, shovel, and shovel. That's all. I turn. I see Truman. Ah. I'm like, son, what's wrong? Well, it hit my head with a shovel. I'm like, well, you know what? Just be careful. I was trying to be calm. So I keep on shoveling. I turn my back. We're shoveling. A little while later, I turn and I say, Truman's this again. Ah. Like, Truman, what's the problem? Hit my head with shovel. Okay, well, now listen, before I end this story, I want everybody to know that I realize I'm not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. But, Truman, what are you doing? Every time I jump on the end of the shovel, it comes up and whacks me. Okay, it's another homeschool success story in the fan. I'm like, okay, I said, maybe stop jumping on the end of the shovel. Okay, that might be, I know, okay. Truman could have said, I am blessed with the world's wisest mother. But no. Truman says, you're so mean, you don't let me jump on the end of the shovel. I'm like, I said, okay, just keep jumping, but make sure it hits the back of your head and not the front because teeth are way too expensive. I'm like, me a break. I was doing the kindest thing to tell him to stop jumping on the end of the shovel. And he viewed me as like the meanest person on the planet. He had a wrong perspective. And when you have a wrong perspective, most of the time, right will seem wrong. In other words, when you have that wrong perspective on something and you sit in youth group, and Pastor Chris says something about one of the issues you're having. No longer is it, hey, that makes a really godly friend. All of a sudden it becomes goody two-shoes. A wrong perspective will make right seem wrong. We need to be careful that we keep our perspective right. And just like Truman, it hurt. But for the love of Pete, the boy wanted to keep jumping. But your parents are like, I want to protect you from this. And it's going to end up hurting you. And so many times we're like, well, I know it will, but I just want to keep it. We need to keep our perspective right. My next point, when things don't seem right, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I lived in Guam, which is a small South Pacific island. And on Guam, our woods were called the boonies. It was sort of like a rainforest. It was hot, humid, that kind of thing. And there was a lot of coral. And when you fall on coral, it cuts you and it gets infected if you're not careful. Well, a lot of times in Guam, hello, most of the places we went swimming were in the ocean, in salt water. Well, I had a friend, and she said, oh, there's this cave, and there's water in it, and it's beautiful, and you can go swimming in fresh water. And I'm like, hey, that sounds pretty neat. She said, but it's a hard hike to get to it. I'm like, okay, well, let's do it. So we're walking, and we go down this cliff, and finally, in the boonies, you see this outcrop of coral, and there's a cave, and we go in. I kid you not, it's a puddle of water in front of me. I'm like, for the love, you tell me I just did that hike, and it's a puddle of water? I could have run this in my bathtub. But I kept quiet. I didn't say anything. And I thought, you know what? That doesn't seem right to walk all this way for a puddle of water. But she said, no, wait. She goes, we're not finished. We had to go in the cave, and there was a crack in the wall so that we had to keep on going through and through this crack. And in the crack we go, and it opens up into a large room, and there are candles. That's part of the thing. If you went swimming in there, you brought your candles to replace those that were already burning. So inside this cave, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful room, and part just gravel came sloping down, and then this large body of fresh water to swim in. And we had our underwater flashlights, and we had a great time. If I had gone through that opening of the cave and I saw that puddle of what I thought was what she meant, and I said, listen, I don't need this, and turn around and walk out, I would have missed out on a really good time swimming in this large body of water that was inside the cave. And it was beautiful with the candles burning. Sometimes our perspective gets to be where all I'm seeing is here and now. I'm dealing with this issue right now. And instead of thinking, okay, what's God doing right now with me today to prepare me for something maybe tomorrow or the next week or in the future, we need to make sure that our perspective isn't always on today, but also on our future and what's coming and what God's going to bring in. It's amazing where I've seen, where I've had to say, wait, why am I having to do this? And then months down the road, I had to take someone to the emergency room. And believe it or not, I had never been to the emergency room at York Hospital. I took it, and as I was doing it, it wasn't convenient. But I thought, the Lord impressed me, you're going to need this one day. That was, I think, in the summer. It was months down the road till one October morning, my father was very sick and would be taken to the hospital in the emergency room. And my sister's like, well, I don't even know where the emergency room is. And I know where it's at. And I was able to go and drive us in. God used a circumstance months before to help me on one of the, when my father passed away that day, on a very emotionally traumatizing day. God used something trivial from the summer to help my burden on that day. My last point for you today is I want you to also have a picture and a perspective on eternity. When I was in Guam, there was a little island called Saipan. And it was one of those islands where you could actually take just a day trip and fly there and very cheap. During World War II, Guam and Saipan were Japanese occupied. And the Japanese forces were extremely cruel to the island inhabitants. Well, they had little museums set up. We went to Saipan, where it was actually occupied to the point where the Japanese soldiers brought their families. And we all know through history that the American forces came and they began to take over Guam and Saipan. Well, the Japanese forces told their families that the only honorable way to escape was death, and that the American forces would only brutalize and harm them, so that the only way out was suicide. On Saipan, there are two particular places. There's a cliff that goes down into the water. There is a cliff called Suicide Cliff that goes into the rocks. And even when I was there, they had it looked, I mean, there were so many, they were almost the size of large popsicle sticks of names. And I mean, just scattered all over the base of this cliff where these people landed and died. On the top of the cliff, now they have a big wire fence so that people cannot go down any further down the cliff and jump off. Obviously, at the time of the Japanese occupation, there was no fence. And that's where people would begin to jump. There is a picture that I have in my mind, a picture that I saw. And my husband and I will be married 19 years this August. It is a picture that still is as clear in my mind today as it was the day I saw it. It was of a woman, a Japanese woman. Now, if you can imagine, you're on the cliff. You can see the jump spot. It's a well-worn path, and it's just a few feet down. You imagine yourself, you're the one taking the picture. I'm the woman. She's running like this. Her arms are up. It's obvious by her pose that she's running, and her face is turned back as if the cameraman yelled something. Now, at this point, she must have heard something, but her face was a face I cannot describe, the look on her face. It was of utter fear But I cannot put it in any different words of just desperation. Her face was just awful. And she's running. And at that moment, that something inside her saying, the people around me are telling me this is the only way out is to run and jump. And yet at the same time, there are pictures that they took of American forces with bullhorns begging and pleading these people to please stop jumping, that all would be well, that food and medical help would be given. And that was the truth. Medical help would be given. That it wasn't the only way out was jumping. And she's running. And that picture of that moment, and the caption never said she stopped. The caption never said she kept running. I have no idea what she did. But she wasn't the only one on that picture, because tied to her back was a child. A little child, about old enough, not old enough to be a toddler, but not old enough to be an infant, but a child tied to her back. And his face was different. His face was, hey, I'm with my mama, all is well, without realizing that mama was running to take his life and hers. You see, we run, and sometimes we look at it as we sit here and we say, you know what? This is my life. But you don't realize the juniors and your friends and other people at church who are watching you. I think of Brittany. Now, Brittany's my niece, but Truman, my youngest, loves her to death. She influences him. You, each one of you, influence someone. And they might, and they'll know you better than anybody else. Well, you know what? My friend so-and-so, or I, you know what? My cousin or my aunt, I love her. But you know what? When she's at home, she listens to, or she does this. I know what. You're influencing someone. And you're taking them, if I will be able to say that, to eternity, in a direction to eternity. That woman ran. And that woman, I have no idea what she did. Whether she kept going or she stopped. But there's no hope for that woman right now, because she has since gone on to eternity where that is, wherever that is for her. But it's not too late for you. It's not, camp isn't over. Life isn't over yet. To change your perspective, that needs to change. Or to say, you know what, this is my perspective. The Bible is my authority and I'm going to keep it that way. And I would encourage you today, I'd like just to take a moment, I'd like you to close your eyes. You know, just because you have culottes on or your dress is long enough and your Bible's in your lap doesn't mean that the God of the Bible is your God. Well, you might know the words, you might know the Bible verses, but maybe there hasn't been a time that you have personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you want to talk to someone today about it, I'm not going to call on you. I just want you to raise your hand. If there's somebody here that says, you know what? I'm just not sure. If you're here and you think, you know what? I need to pray with somebody about my perspective. I got some issues going on in my life that I just need help with. And you'd like a counselor to talk with you later, then I'd like you to raise your hand as well. Let's pray. Lord, I come before you and I thank you for loving us. I thank you that you give us opportunity to change perspective when it needs to be changed. I thank you for loving us and I thank you for being real for us. And I ask that each individual here today, if there is an issue that needs to be changed, that Lord, they'd have the courage to talk to someone about it and get it taken care of even today. Lord, keep us all spiritually and physically safe. In Jesus' name, amen.